Today's reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke 15, 11 through 32. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Well, when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the word of God.
Let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we come before you rejoicing of what you alone have done in these two services. We praise you of how you're bringing men and women, boys and girls to yourself through your Spirit and also through the words that we share with others. And God, we praise you that we can even just come before you at all. That in our desperate lives and our sin, our shame, you even can look upon us and say, well approved, son, daughter. So God, as we look at the gospel of good news again, may it be fresh to our eyes so that we might present it clearly, with boldness, with passion to others around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So thinking of the story that was just read for us, which son or daughter are you? Are you the good son or the bad son? It's actually a trick question. Both sons had great inadequacies. In that day and time when Jesus would have shared this story with that culture, they would think that essentially those two sons are throwing their shoes at him, which is the way of kind of distaste, of showing disrespect in that culture. Maybe in our day and age, it'd be the equivalent of both sons slapping their father's face. So let me ask again, which son or daughter are you? Are you more like the reckless son, the first one that was explained? The one that demanded that they deserve something that they didn't really deserve, all that wealth, and basically squandered it, gave it away, not for good purposes, but for their own kind of selfish desires? Are you kind of like that reckless son? They're never quite satisfied. Always looking for the next hit. Always looking for the next satisfaction, the next new thing to kind of bring into your life because you know there's some kind of hole that needs to be filled. Or are you that kind of more obligated son? Let's call him the obligated one. The one that kind of quietly minds their own business, you know, does everything that's told to them, goody-goody. No, but maybe deep down they desire to be popular and fun and maybe even a little reckless. But, you know, they just kind of persevere, push on. But yet, never quite feeling satisfied in their approval of their Father. You see, when we come to our Heavenly Father, I think it's only natural in our own kind of humility, to think of God like our earthly father. Now, I'm going to guess that if your father was anything like mine, he was not a perfect man or is not a perfect man. If you ask my children, they'll tell you a lot of how I am not a perfect father. Or maybe you didn't have a father. Or maybe your father was rather absent. And when you think of God as a father, that's hard. Or even if you had a really great dad, maybe you still kind of are looking for some kind of affection, approval that you never feel like you fully had. You know, again, that person was not perfect, is not perfect, and in fact is probably a lot like one of these two sons that are listed here. But that's not the way our Father God works. No, as we can see in this story, his words to his reckless son, the one kind of just throwing all things off and abandoned of total disrespect to his father and actually causing economic calamity to the family, says to his son, "You were dead, but now you are alive. You were lost, but now you're found. Let's celebrate." And then to the son who never felt like his dad maybe actually approved of him, always said, 95% is not enough. 100 is what we're getting for. Our Father God says something very different and says, "All that I have is yours. You have been with me all along. You are approved." Now, the hearers of the story at that time when Jesus was telling this would have been amazed that this would even could happen. And maybe you do too, because you think any earthly father, there's kind of like a disconnect here, right? In that any earthly father would have probably said to the reckless son, "You made your bed, lie in it. You had your share, you had your time. Too bad." Or a son that kind of says, "You know, what about me? Come on, you know, I've done everything right." And say, "You can maybe just do a little bit better." You know, they would have recognized that there was some kind of disconnect here. Like, how can the kingdom of God, how can our Father God be like this? Because what they would see and what I see and what we all see in our kind of earthly relationships is not like this all the time. Well, what they were seeing before them and what we see through God's word is the good news that in God's perfect love, which we're seeing expressed here in this story, he also has perfect justice. And although each of these two sons deserved very different responses in their own sin and shame, there's still this love that can be accepting them and approving them. Why? Because the good news, the gospel, tells us of actually a third son. A son named Jesus, who was let go by his father, not because he was demanding some kind of reckless life, but because he had compassion for his brothers. You see, that third son was very similar to a story that Jesus told earlier, which is that there was an owner who had a large vineyard and loaned it to some tenants. And to get his share, the owner's share back from those tenants, he would often send his servants to go and to collect that. And each time, the servants would be beaten, killed by those tenants. And finally, that father, that owner father of those vineyards said, I will send my son, and surely they will not do anything with him. But in fact, they killed him. You see, when our Father God looks at us, and the reason he can have this kind of love of compassion that is expressed here in these two sons is because of that third son. It's because of Jesus himself. So that when he looks at our sin and our shame, he looks at us through the lens, through the body of Christ. The son who says, Father, I will go, and I will not only show them the way that we should live, that people should live, but I will show them, I'll give them my life. So that when you look at them through their robe of righteousness that I put on them because of what I have done for them. That's, friends, brothers and sisters, how we can stand approved and accepted before an all-loving, yet an all-just God. That is the good news. And so when Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, said, follow me, certainly he was saying with a level of authority and a level of attractiveness that people immediately followed, not really sure what was going to happen. But as they saw those next several years pass by, they were able to see the true message of the gospel and the good news. So that when they said, follow me, when Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men, they got it. Is that when we follow Christ, when we follow the example that he has given us, when we follow this amazing love that's been provided to us, it is not something that we just keep to ourselves. If you remember, Bob Shogren a couple weeks ago talked about the top line of Scripture and the bottom line of Scripture. And how the top line is often like the blessing that he wants to give us, his body, his people, individuals. Yeah, Jesus says, follow me. You're approved. You're accepted. But what's the bottom line there? And I will make you become fishers of men. You see, if we truly have the gospel and the good news living in us, and we truly kind of understand it and we feel it within us, there is nothing stopping the movement of the Spirit through us to be able to become fishers of men. Now, I'm going to guess that there are no professional fishermen here. Any professional fishermen? I don't think so. There might be a few people that like to go fishing. I am not one of them. My father, my earthly father, loves to go fishing. And when I was 6 years old, he took me on this camping trip, and it was a disastrous weekend, actually. I fell into this like mud bog, and then we had to walk for 2 miles into the bush to get to just the ideal fishing spot, which ended up having no fish. My dad had to cook this, he wasn't a good cook, so it was really bad food, and you know, it was really kind of a horrible weekend. And I vowed I would never go fishing again in my life. I've never been on a fishing trip with my dad ever again, I must say. So fishing is not something that I really enjoy. So, if fishing is not your thing, then let's change the metaphor. Because what Jesus was doing is he found fishermen and he gave them a metaphor in order to understand what it meant to follow Christ, to follow me, and to share that news with others. Change the metaphor. Maybe you're in a global organization or the diplomatic corps. You're God's ambassador for men. You know, maybe if you're a doctor, you are a spiritual healer of men. A lawyer, you are a spiritual advocate for men. Or maybe you are an IT and a developer or a project manager. I don't know, maybe be a project manager of men. I don't know, whatever it might be. You know, find the metaphor, change it. God wants to use you. You know, the way that all nations, the way that the Samaria Project will happen, the way that we share Christ, the way that Christ is known around the world is through us. It is through his church. It is through his body. It is God's plan A. And you may wonder, why doesn't he use something like talking rocks? Or why doesn't he put like messages with clouds in the sky? You know, or why don't we just only, you know, God's word will always go forth, even when it's presented to someone on its own. But why does he use us, imperfect people? Because he'll get so much more glory that way. He'll get so much more glory that way. You know, if you think of a Hollywood film, the villain turning hero, that's a very transformative experience that speaks loudly to other people. Your story of how God has changed your life is impactful on others. It will change others as well. So as we finish today, I want us to think of two decisions that I think many of us need to make. One is that some of us need to come home to the Father, our Father God. Maybe you've been seeking and searching after God for many years, or maybe a couple months, or even a few days, and you're here today. It's no coincidence. And you have not truly understood the love of the Father God as I have expressed it, or how God's word has been expressed today. It's time, whether you're the reckless son or the obligated one, to lay it all down and accept the true son that was given for you. In fact, Jesus said, before he said the words, follow me, he said, the time is now. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. Repent. Turn around. Believe the gospel or the good news. And so my question would be, why wait? Why wait? Some of us have been waiting a long time. I don't know for what. But why wait? In fact, why not go public about that? You know, this Sunday we will have a baptism service. There is still plenty of water in the pool. Okay? There's still room for you. It's not too late. If you have never publicly shown this amazing love to others through baptism, it's time. And so, email me. My email address is on the church website. Email me today. And I will get back to you today and we'll get together and we'll figure this out and make a plan for next Sunday. The other decision that I think some of us need to make is actually start becoming fishers of men, ambassadors of Christ to men, development people, project managers, whatever it might be. We have, as humans and as a church for way too long, separated these two portions. Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. For if we truly are following Christ's experience of salvation, as I said before, there will be nothing stopping us. And so as you think through your commitment over this time, if we had this missions month, of where are the next steps that God is leading you, whether it be across the ends of the earth on a short-term missions trip, or to kind of get more deeply involved in what God is doing around the world and studying and knowing more about that through a perspectives class that's coming up, or praying for those six believers that they would become 12 and 144 and multiplying. Whatever it may be, don't separate the follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. Let's pray. God, with these two decisions that are before us, I pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters here, your sons and daughters. Lord, you say that we can become a child of yours, that you will adopt us as your sons, your daughters, if we just call out to you, that you will meet us. Lord, I am convinced that you are calling people here. Calling people here to meet you and experience your amazing love, your approval, your acceptance. And that you're actually calling people not only to just do that step, but also to share that wonderful news, not just to the ends of the earth, but across the street, down the hall from their office, maybe even across the hallway, their sons or daughters in their house. God, we know that you have all things under control and that you are the one that calls us. And so, God, I pray today that if we are hearing your voice, that we will not turn away. Instead, we will run hard after you. God, may we run after you. The things that bless you, that bring glory to you, because you are such a good, loving, and awesome Father. This time we do collect our offering. This is a time that we give to God of just the great generosity that he's given us. Will the ushers come forward at this time?
We stand together and sing, declare that we will follow.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name, bless your name, Jesus. And the deeds of the day and the truth in my way speaks of you, speak of you, Jesus. For this is what I'm glad to do. It's time to live a life of love that pleases you. And I will give my all to you. Surrender everything I have and follow you. I'll follow you.
Take a moment to allow the embrace of our Father, that you